call the October 11th Amherst Town Council meeting to order. I appreciate everybody being here tonight. First order of business is, would you everybody please silence their cell phones? After that, the next two items, the Pledge of Allegiance and the invocation, will all rise for the Pledge of Allegiance. After will be an invocation. If you're uncomfortable with either one and you wish to step outside, you may, and then Officer Martin will retrieve you afterwards and bring you back in. With that, let's rise, please.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Father God, Almighty God, God of heaven, God of earth, God of grace, God of mercy, we thank you for being our God. We thank you for never leaving us or forsaking us. We thank you for blessing each and every one of us. We thank you for blessing our country, our community, our family. We thank you, Father God, for blessing us with fresh grace and mercy every morning. Father God, we thank you for blessing us with spiritual understanding, allowing us to know who you are. And Father God, at this time, we invite you into our meeting. Yes. We ask you to take over the meeting, Father God. Guide us, God. Father God, just guide our voice, guide our ears, Father God, and see that all we do bring praise and glory to you and uplift this town. Yeah. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Okay, the next item is public hearing for the SUP for bed and breakfast. I'll go ahead and take that off some water. Thank you. Ms. McGuffin.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Jeremiah and Andrea Kirkland are seeking a special use permit to be allowed to conduct a bed and breakfast on their property at 146 North Main Street. It is a duplex structure, which they would like to use one half of the duplex for a bed and breakfast. They also have a garage structure that they would like to use for a bed and breakfast, and the ordinance and the recommendation from the Planning Commission is that that be allowed if the garage can be brought into compliance with the zoning and building code ordinances. So you have a set of conditions there, and it's listed in the ordinance, and staff and the Planning Commission recommend approval, and you have a public hearing set for tonight.
That, I will open the public hearing. I don't have anybody listed that wanted to speak. Does anybody want to jump up? If not. Oh, yes, sir. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no worries.
I meant jump up with stand up.
Okay. Well, my name is Jeremiah Kirkland. This is my wife and I. I'm speaking on behalf of both of us. I mentioned this to the Planning Commission, but I also just wanted to reread my case for anybody that hadn't heard it already. My wife and I, Andrea, are looking for permission to operate a short-term rental at our property, 146 North Main Street in Amherst. When we purchased the home a couple years ago, we noticed that it was set up originally as a duplex, having two bedrooms, one bathroom, and a kitchen on both sides. It even has a separate front entry door. The only thing dividing the sides were two small doorways, one upstairs and one downstairs. Over time, we have removed those doors and put walls up to really separate the two sides. Once we did that and other cosmetic repairs to the home, we listed our property on Airbnb. Over the last few months, we have seen incredible feedback from our visitors. We have been able to give guests a safe, inviting, and memorable experience when traveling to or through our town. Airbnb is safe. There is a process that each guest and host must go through before being able to use the platform. My wife and I even have set up a privacy setting to allow us to look through the guest profile before approving or denying their stay. This is extremely important to us. We allow guests with great ratings to stay in our home. If a guest doesn't have great reviews or any at all, we have the opportunity to deny their request. Since we live in the home, this is a great feature that the platform has. At any hotel or motel, this screening process does not exist. Anyone can stay at any time. This is not how we operate our short-term rental. Even though there hasn't been, we are able to monitor any foul behavior since we do live in the other half of the house. On the personal side, this is also a great way for income for us and the town. My wife is a stay-at-home mother with our one-year-old boy, and we wouldn't have it any other way. Our Airbnb earnings has helped us begin to replace her income so she is able to stay at home full-time. We have loved being able to host guests and give them a reason to come back to our town, and we hope to continue to do so. Thank you.
Anybody else? I will close the public hearing, and I will entertain a motion to approve the SUP for the bed and breakfast for Mr. and Ms. Kirkland.
I make a motion to approve it.
I have a motion. May I have a second?
Second.
I have a second for Mr. Driscoll. Any comments? Ms. Whedon?
Yes.
Mr. Thompson?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Higginbotham? Ms. Turner? And Mr. Driscoll?
No.
Vote. Mr. Driscoll?
Aye.
Ms. Turner?
Aye.
Mr. Higginbotham?
Aye.
Mr. Thompson?
Aye.
And Ms. Whedon?
Aye.
Motion is carried 5-0-0. Thank you, sir.
Thank you all.
Next public hearing, Ms. McGuffin, the revision to the sidewalk escapement code.
So this is really just the deletion of two codes that were inadvertently left in our ordinance as a time of the adoption of your current sidewalk ordinance regarding skateboards and bicycles. This is just the deletion of two code sections that no longer should apply.
Okay, I will open the public hearing. Anybody have any comments on the deletion of the basically outdated or conflicting code sections? I will close the public hearing. I will entertain a motion to delete the conflicting code sections.
Yes, sir.
Okay, I will entertain a motion to delete the conflicting code sections.
I'll make that motion.
Motion from Ms. Wheaton. May I have a second, please?
Second.
Second from Mr. Driscoll. Any comments, Ms. Whedon?
Yes.
Mr. Thompson?
No.
Mr. Higginbotham?
No.
Ms. Turner?
No.
And Mr. Driscoll?
No.
Vote, Mr. Driscoll?
Aye.
Ms. Turner?
No.
Mr. Higginbotham? Excuse me?
Yeah, it's good.
Okay. I didn't hear what you said. Mr. Thompson?
No.
And Ms. Whedon?
Aye.
Yes. Motion is carried 3-2. Next public hearing is on flag lots, Ms. McGuffin.
Yes, sir. So just to give a little bit of a description and to hopefully be as clear as I can verbally, a flag lot is a lot that is shaped like a flag with a pole, and our ordinance does allow those currently. So these are typically used in places where you have inadequate road frontage, but you have additional property to the rear of existing properties. Our ordinance has apparently allowed these for several years, but it doesn't say so explicitly, and it doesn't give any standards for these. So when these have come up or when I see them, I don't have anything that explicitly says, for example, that the flag portion of the lot needs to meet all of the requirements of the ordinance. For example, if you have a requirement for 1 acre of lot size, in our current ordinance, that acre could include the pole portion of the lot and not just include the flag portion where the home's actually going to be. Additionally, our setbacks don't explicitly say that they need to be measured from that flag portion of the lot. They could be measured from the bottom of the pole and you could end up with a house very close to the backyard of another home. So this really just gives us some standards for how these would be used when somebody is going to develop them so that the ordinance would be clear and give us some guidance on that. And it does come with a recommendation for approval from the Planning Commission.
I will open the public hearing. Anybody like to adjust to that? Anybody that wants to, if you can still step up. Okay. I'll entertain a motion to on the flag lots.
So moved.
Okay, I'll take a motion from Mr. Driscoll, second from Ms. Wheaton. Any discussion, Mr. Driscoll? Ms. Turner?
No.
Mr. Higginbotham?
No.
Mr. Thompson?
No.
And Ms. Wheaton?
Aye.
Mr. Thompson?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carried, 5-0. Next item is citizens' comments. Just to remind those that have signed up to speak and anybody else that wishes, you're entitled to 3 minutes, and this is your time to speak, so we do not engage. We listen to what you have to say.
I was just going to show
you. Yeah, yeah.
He was on.
And so that's just a reminder. So the first person up is Mr. Martin.
I'm here before you again to speak about an ordinance that has not been enforced during the last 20 years, but is being enforced now due to one complaint being filed on several businesses within the town. The 2003 ordinance basically states that all commercial lots within the town limits developed after 2003 must be surfaced with asphalt, concrete, brick, or paving stones. If a commercial lot was developed before 2003, it would be grandfathered in. However, any addition, change in structure, type of business, or if it closed down for a 2-year period, then the 2003 ordinance would be enforced. Most landowners, business owners, and potential business owners within the town limits do not know this ordinance even exists because they were given a business permit by the last 2 town managers, even though their commercial lots only gravel, millings, or surface treated. Permits should not have been given, and one person filing one complaint shouldn't shut down a business. There are going to be many angry people that were grandfathered in when they try to sell, add on, change their type of business, or an illness or death has caused the business to close for 2 years, and they must now meet the requirements of this 20-year-old ordinance. The cost of asphalt has increased about 320% since 2003, causing a tremendous hardship for businesses forced to asphalt now. How would you feel if your business was grandfathered in with a gravel lot for the last 20 years, but in 2023 you or your spouse became very ill? Your business closes for 2 years, the ordinance will now be enforced. What if your spouse dies and you need to sell? The property value just dropped dramatically because a different type of business will need to abide by the ordinance. That limits your potential small businesses because they can't afford to asphalt. In our case, the 2-acre lot at 469 South Main being rented to Jake DeMala for a shed display would cost $274,000 to asphalt, which costs more than the worth of the property itself. We wouldn't rent it to anyone dragging heavy sheds across it. This ordinance is not resolved, options are limited. We could sell, which would be difficult, or would suggest that we donate for several habitat houses and write it off as a tax loss. How does shutting down business help the town? Jake DeMala has already said he would be out of business if he could not display his sheds on our lot. Wouldn't the town be better served by keeping current businesses and replacing the 2003 ordinance with one that requires all commercial lots to be well maintained instead? Thank you.
And now, Mrs. Moore.
The 2003 ordinance being enforced now affects many people who are not here tonight because a complaint has not been filed on their business yet. I have a feeling that will change. It is not fair to force one business to asphalt while it gives another a pass. We currently own 5 properties zoned B2, and our property at 513 South Main Street has sat empty since August. We rented it for $1,200 a month starting in 2018 when the first business permit was issued until August of this year when a complaint was filed, and now it must be asphalt to get another business permit. And this is the property. Is this fair that we should have to pay $64,000 to asphalt while Sheila's Pet Grooming got a business permit in 2013 by Jack Hobbs, who told her surface treating was acceptable? Is it fair for H.J. Childress to have to asphalt his electrical and equipment rental business while G.L. Staten's Amherst Lawn and Garden does not? What about 229A and 229B South Main, owned by Mr. and Mrs. Charles Skippy Brown? That is a gravel lot. they will have to, will they have to asphalt? That is the former location of Vintage on Main, so I assume a business permit was given after 2003. How about the two properties across from it? 220 South Main is currently a massage therapy business, so I assume they received a business permit, and that has a gravel lot. How about 230 South Main? It is empty and for sale with a gravel lot. Will the next owner get a business permit? How about 227 Mount Olive Road? Is a former manufacturing plant in a powder coating business with a gravel lot. It closed down 2 years ago, so now the ordinance should apply. What about Birch Ogden and Schrader's empty business? Will the next owner have to asphalt the gravel lot behind the building? The 2003 ordinance also states multifamily rental units must be asphalted. So wouldn't all businesses with rentals above or behind the main street have to become compliant if the business changes, closes for 2 years, or is sold? This 2003 ordinance is hurting businesses in town and they don't even know it. For example, we have purchased about $20,000 worth of building material from Hill Hardware since January of this year. In June, we bought another house with plans to remodel it. However, after losing the rental income from one and possibly two rentals, remodeling will have to wait. So not only do we suffer financially, so does the town by not getting business taxes, and so do local businesses. It's a trickle-down loss by all. Another example is property owned by Patricia Brockman. It will not be bringing any revenue anytime soon. I spoke with Patricia today, and she is upset about this ordinance as we are. She said she had not thought about developing one of her properties, but it will not if asphalt is required. Please rescind this 2003 ordinance and replace it with one requiring all commercial property to keep a well-maintained lot.
Okay, next is consent agenda for the meeting and the check approval. I will entertain a motion to approve the two items.
I'll make that motion.
Motion, Ms. Summer. May I have a second, please? Sure. Second, Mr. Higginbotham. Any discussion? Ms. Wheaton?
Yes.
Mr. Thomas?
No, sir.
Mr. Higginbotham?
No.
Mr. Turner?
No.
And Mr. Patricia?
No.
So, Mr. Wispel?
Aye.
Mr. Turner?
Aye.
Mr. Higginbotham?
Aye.
Mr. Thompson?
Aye.
And Ms. Wheaton?
Aye.
Motion carried, 5-0-0. Staff reports which are attached. And your planning commission, your EA, and your Robert E. Lee's discussion items. Ms. McGuffin, confirmation for substantial report.
Yes, sir. The state code requires, as part of your comprehensive plan, that if you have any public facilities which are not specifically delineated as part of your adopted comprehensive plan, that you would have your planning commission find that that public facility is, quote, substantially in accord with your adopted comprehensive plan, end quote. So this finding is completed by the planning commission. They have found unanimously that a park located across from Amherst County High School would be substantially in accord with your comprehensive plan. And then state code says that that finding is then confirmed or denied by the governing body. So the planning commission and I ask you tonight for a finding of or an agreement with the finding by the planning commission that that property is substantially in accord with the comprehensive plan for a park.
I will entertain a motion for that.
I make that motion.
A motion from Ms. Wood. May I have a second, please?
Second.
Second from Mr. Driscoll. Any discussion? Mr. Driscoll.
No.
Ms. Turner?
No.
Mr. Higginbotham? Mr. Thompson?
No.
And Ms. Wheaton?
No.
Vote, Ms. Wheaton?
Aye.
Mr. Thompson?
Aye.
Mr. Higginbotham?
Abstain.
Okay. Ms. Turner?
Aye.
And Mr. Driscoll?
Aye.
Motion carried, 4-0-0-1. Next item, water treatment plant appropriation.
I'm sure the council remembers that when we had talked about doing the water treatment plant renovation, that we had said that we were maintaining a fairly strong balance in your water treatment and in your water plant fund balance. And we were doing that because we had always anticipated then that undergoing such a large-scale project that there would be things that we had not included in the original project that as we went along that we were going to want to go ahead and add in. We had asked about midway through the project for additional money to make some renovations to the raw water pump station that we hadn't anticipated. And then here at the end, we are asking for our last extra appropriation to tie up some loose ends that were included in your packet with a total appropriation of $101,110 to cover all of those items. These are really all items that are at your water treatment plant. If council does not wish to have all of those covered, we did give you an option for a lesser amount, but staff does recommend appropriation of the total amount. For reference, your water fund balance is at $1.8 million, which is over and above your annual budget for that fund.
I will entertain a motion for the water treatment plant appropriation.
I'll make that motion.
Motion from Ms. Wheaton. You have a second?
Oh, second.
Second from Ms. Turner. Is there any discussion? Mr. Driscoll?
No.
Ms. Turner?
No.
Mr. Higginbotham?
No.
Mr. Thompson?
You're asking for the whole, the larger amount?
Yes, sir.
And no, sir, I have no other comment.
Okay. Ms. Wheaton?
No.
Vote, Ms. Wheaton? No. Mr. Thompson?
Abstain.
Mr. Higginbotham?
Aye.
Ms. Turner?
Aye.
And Mr. Driscoll?
Aye.
Motion carried, 4-0-0-1. Ms. McGuffin, the award bid for the maintenance shop.
So this is the one tricky item of the night. We had put in the budget for this year an addition of a building at your maintenance shop to really create a substantially better work environment for your maintenance staff. Currently, they do not have adequate space for training. They don't have adequate conditioned space. So this would really give them an opportunity to have a much better work environment. We put together, with the help of Mr. Driscoll, a design build request for bid. We received two responsive bids. The lower of the two bids is more than we had anticipated spending. It was $139,500. We're not concerned about the increased cost, as we do have adequate money in the fund balance to cover this. However, staff has some real reservations about the submission that was made. Mrs. Morgan did take some time to really look in the code and in the bid structure to see if there was any way we could negotiate on the second bid, which was much more what we were hoping for in terms of design. Even though it was a bit higher, that next bid was at $146,734, so it was a bit more, but it was really the design that matched more of what we wanted. We have in front of us two options. One, we can award that lower price bid and we can move forward with that project, or we can take those bids and throw them away and we can start over and be more specific in our design standards for a second bid process. Staff is here to answer your questions. Mrs. Morgan can answer questions for you on the actual bid process. Mr. Thompson is here, can talk about what staff hopes for. Mr. Driscoll, of course, has been intimately involved in the whole process. So we're happy to answer questions for you and really looking for some guidance as well from council about which way you'd like to go.
Okay, before I'm not going to ask for any motions or anything on this. I'm going to open the floor up to address. And if anybody's got any questions of the individuals that she just named, let's get it all out on the floor before we go any further. So just let me know if you want to talk, and then we'll go from there. Yes, sir, Mr. Higginbotham.
Exactly what improvements are we seeking?
We're looking at a break room, a training room. It would be separate from the shop, attached to the current maintenance building. To be attached of an area that's 16 by 20 with a counter in it, a sink, and heating and air. And that's about it.
Okay.
I would like to, whether it's the 146 or 139, that will be staff, in my opinion. I would like to give that back to them. I brought this to the attention to council a while back. I toured the facility, and it, as I said at the time, we had been putting money into the police department and other areas, which was very important, and we had a chance to do it. But then when I took a tour, there's no reason why someone can't have a room with heat, you know, when you're working. So I will support this 100%. I would like to follow staff's recommendation. And But I support it 100% because the guys have waited and waited and waited, and it's their turn. Thank you.
Mr. Driscoll, would you, or Ms. Turner?
Well, I have a question, but I'll...
Well, if you've got a question, let's wait on Mr. Driscoll since he was on this design, so...
I am not against the rebid. I think we could clarify a couple of things with the bidders. There's obviously, particularly on one design, they did not understand the orientation of the building. And I think we need to put that out there and a little bit more information. We also need to get a revised drawing that they were not privy to. They're going to have to get that.
I am more inclined to pause a minute and to go to rebid so that we do this right the first time. They get what they need and maybe a few things that they might want and do it right. And so I'm in favor of a rebid.
Anybody else? Mr. Thompson?
I'm in favor of a rebid too.
Okay. So I guess what we can do is, correct me if I'm wrong, Ms. Manager, but I could entertain a motion to have staff resend this out for a rebid.
What I would love is a motion to not award the bid and put it out for rebid. So, okay.
Can I ask a question about the bidding process before we go? I know I've been involved in different types of bidding over the years. Were the bidders required to show up at a pre-bid meeting for this?
It was not made mandatory.
Is there a way we could make that mandatory? Because I think that changes it a little bit if they're there. That reduces the chance of miscommunication when the drawings come in. So can we add that the pre-bid, that it's mandatory that the interested companies attend?
Yes, sir.
In order to be bid?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so, well, I understand we're going to take a motion to not accept the bids. And in that motion, we will have staff rebid and also put in there that a pre-bid meeting attendance is mandatory. Okay? I will accept a motion for that.
So moved.
Motion for Mr. Driscoll. May I have a second?
Second.
Second for Mr. Thompson. Is there any further discussion?
I just hope this moves along quickly. They need heat this winter.
Yeah. Okay. So with that, vote, Mr. Driscoll.
To not do it, yes.
Yeah, to the motion, right. Ms. Turner? Ms.
Aye.
Thompson? Motion is carried 5-0-0. The last one, Ms. McGuffin, the public hearing for AD.
So the Planning Commission has been wrestling for a few months with an accessory dwelling unit ordinance. And we had discussed this in the past relative to the fact that we have several folks in town who have garage apartments who are non-conforming under our ordinance. And it could really be an issue if you had something happen to one of those buildings and they were unable to rebuild because of the ordinance, or they, you know, were unable to continue because there had been a cessation of the use for 2 years. So we had been already discussing this with the Planning Commission, and then when we received the request from the Kirklands, they would like to use what had previously been a garage for an accessory dwelling unit. So the Planning Commission has worked very hard to come up with an ordinance that they're happy with, and they actually send this to you unanimously. I didn't think we would get there, but we did, so that was an exciting thing. And we are asking that the council set a public hearing for next month on that ordinance for accessory dwelling units.
I will accept a motion to set a public hearing for ADU next month.
So moved.
Motion from Mr. Driscoll. May I have a second, please?
A second.
Second from Ms. Wheaton. Any discussion, Ms. Wheaton?
I guess we can look at it closer next month, but I'm curious to know about the cars, the parking. I mean, if you have a I'm concerned if you're renting to five people and they each have a car, and I'm just wondering if we could look at that or revisit that issue.
I think we can look at that. I'm making at the public hearing.
Okay.
If you'll have time, yeah, we can, you know, staff can be prepared. That's now they know that's something that you're questioning, mm-hmm. so they can be prepared
right.
when they come.
Otherwise, I think it's fine. I'm
okay.
sorry.
That's cool. We're good. Mr. Thompson?
Yes, sir.
Ms. Higginbotham?
Nope.
And Mr. Driscoll. Okay, all those in favor of setting a public hearing for next month, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? 500 for the public hearing. Matters from the staff. Let's go. Ms. Hunt?
No, sir.
Let's see who else we got. Buddy. Mr. No, Buddy. Sir. Mr. Williams?
No, sir.
Mr. Thompson?
No, sir.
Ms. Tracy?
I would like to ask council if I could appear by Zoom or phone for this, the meeting that you're set at the end of this month, I believe next week or 2 weeks from now.
Yeah, the October work session.
Yes, I'm available at 7. I just cannot get here at 7. So I would like to appear. Zoom, phone, whatever. That's okay.
Can we get it Zoomed?
You want to Zoom in?
Whatever is easiest, pleasing for council.
Okay.
We can do that.
I mean, there's an exemption there that you can do it. So I mean,
I would appreciate it.
All right. Thank you for the letting us know. Let's do it that way. Instead of everybody sitting here wondering where Kelly is, and we'll know she's going to show up on TV. Yeah, because the work session meeting is the 26th, I believe, is the date we set it. October 26th.
Correct.
Yes. Okay.
Is that 7? What time? 7 p.m.?
7 p.m., yes, ma'am. Okay.
Yes.
Ms. McGuffin.
I want to make everyone aware and say congratulations to our mayor, who at the Virginia Municipal League Conference was voted to be vice president of the league. So this is a really big deal.
Thank you.
One of the other mayors who serves on the executive board for the Municipal League made the comment that he had to serve on the executive board for 10 years before he was considered for a vice president position. So our mayor has done quite a feat by being considered for vice president so quickly in his tenure on the executive board, but I know they think very highly of him, and it's quite an honor for the town and for the mayor. So congratulations, sir.
Thank you. And I know a lot of people know where the town is now because they all ask me. And I explain to them, and it's pretty funny because most people go, oh, I've been there. All righty then, we're doing good. So, matters from council. Ms. Wheaton?
I'll just say quickly that I heard Mr. and Mrs. Martin's concerns, and as we've stated before, we will continue this discussion at the workshop on the gravel situation on October 26th. 7 p.m.
Thank you. Mr. Thompson?
I have nothing.
Mr. Driscoll?
Ms. Martin, would you please copy your notes there and send it to the town manager just for us to use as a reference?
Sure.
Okay.
And you would copy to everyone?
Okay.
Thank you.
Ms.
Cummings?
Nothing.
And Mr.
I just want to ask council to be cautious when we're thinking about making decisions and ordinance to make sure we are business friendly. That's what I really want the town to be business friendly and give people a chance to make a living and not trying to make it hard on them.
Okay. Thank you. And I would just like to thank everybody for the applause. It's pretty cool, but and I will say that this week a lot of people learned where the town of Amherst is and didn't know. It's working well for the town. And after next year, we'll give the town a charge because the president, if I get elected, the next step is the president-elect. And so when I become president, at the end, I have to give, well, I don't have to, but the presidents usually give all the executive board a bag of stuff from their area. So I talked to Ms. Sarah about it. We're just going to include everybody to put in something from the town of Amherst. To send, I mean, just a prime example, the lady who was the president this past year, but only for 3 months because she passed away. She was the one that started the African American Museum in Pennington Gap. I did not know that there was an African American Museum in Pennington Gap. But she gave her family gave each of us a piece of art, two pieces of African art from the museum, which my wife really enjoyed it. So, I mean, that, you know, that doesn't have here nor there, but I think it's something really cool that we should, you know, at the time, I'm going to ask for everybody's help, because that's something we want to make sure that, you know, everybody knows a little piece about our town. Other than that, Ms. Martin, could you check, please, sir?
Sir.
If there's nothing there, I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Motion from Mr. Crystal, second from Ms. Wheaton. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carried. And everybody have a